I'm just familiar with the history. I'm familiar with the background, and I'm familiar with the facts. And I'm also of a ready mind, and I have the Spirit of God to interpret and to teach. We got to be mindful of the words of the prophets, the words of the Lord, and the words of his apostles, and the commandment. There's all kinds of commandments, you know. One of the commandments in the first epistle of Peter was, you know, abstain from fleshly lusts. There was a commandment in this book of Peter, chapter 1, to give all diligence, to add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance, patience, to patience, godliness, to godliness, kindness, and to kindness, charity, which is love. Those are commandments that we have to fulfill. We cannot fulfill them as commandments, and we cannot, what I mean is, the commandments are for, you know, the law is for the unrighteous. It condemns and so on and so forth. It is not coming to us as that kind of law. It is coming to us as the gift and blessing of God, as something holy, and though the law is holy. But we don't perform it as according to a legalistic way where we have to perform these things in order to gain the favor of God. No. The favor of God is given before you were even born. And it is by that favor which you are able to obtain faith, which is the beginning of our salvation. And then, from faith, we add to that all manner of good and godly gifts. Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Well, this is appropriate. The apostle knew. You know, what fathers? Some people think this means the apostles. And he could have reference to, he knew they were going to die. But since the first, you know, Adam, man, the fathers of humanity, since our fathers, you know, the forefathers, since every father there is on the earth, you know, all the fathers of mankind, since they fell asleep, everything's pretty much the same. It's like I was saying before, you know, I die just like the ungodly die. And what sets me off from them? Chiefly nothing. I mean, as far as once I'm dead, it's only in this life that I can show the godliness of Christ. In my death, I mean, through my life I could have done something, but what I mean is once I'm dead, it's sort of like, well, you know, that's over. He's done. The last days, and even in the days all along the way, actually, we've had scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, Jesus, you know, they say this. And then the scoffers do say this. And the scoffers at the scriptures, they'll say, well, where's the promise of the coming of Jesus? Look, at the apostles expected him to return in their lifetime. They say that. Heck, I expect him to return in my lifetime. And the generation before me expected him to return in their lifetime. I don't think we're supposed to expect anything else. You know what I mean? We're supposed to live with that expectation. Because when we die, it's going to happen. Meaning, not the afterlife, but I mean, you will sleep, but 1,000 years is as a day, and even less, you know, you just, well, that's also coming up. Actually, I kind of get ahead of myself. But you know, the dead will not know the passing of time. And it will seem as though they had slept but a night. And the Lord will raise them out of their graves. And so, what's the point of bringing that up? Oh, but, you know, but, so we live so our lives are at the end of our life, the Lord is going to return. Whether we live to the day of his coming or whether we die and sleep in Jesus, we're going to see the Lord. You know, I will see the Lord within 100 years. Less than that. You know, if I live to be 90, that's only 55 more years. Within 55 years, I don't expect I should live longer than 90, though if the Lord tarried, I'd like to live even longer. Let's say 120, because I wouldn't mind living that long if God would give me the good health. I would be well pleased to live a long life. If I could keep my mind, it would please me very well to live that long. Why not? Let's say it was 120 years. That means I have 85 years left. Within 85 years, Jesus Christ is going to return from my perspective. Because I will die, and the next thing I will know is that he has returned. So, my life is a preparation, a making ready for the coming of the Lord. In Christianity, I do not see any cause that anyone should be otherwise minded. Because, you know, preparing for, you know, when I say, well, what about the Great Tribulation and... what is it we're supposed to do to prepare for this great tribulation? What is it? I mean, how do we prepare ourselves? Do we study lots of prophecy? Do we try to figure out what the prophetic word is for that time? Do we try to determine, you know, when the king of the south is coming against the king of the north and the king of the east and the king of the west and the, you know, and the heads of the beast and this and that and the other and interpret symbols and signs which we do not have the key to? And you look on the television, on the internet, there's all kinds of men banging their heads against the wall trying to interpret Daniel, the portions of which are not, you know, the hidden portions in the book of Revelation, the portions which are not understood, because I understand a lot of things in Revelation, I do. And I'll give you knowledge that you've probably never seen in Revelation. But I tell you what, there's a lot of things in there that are sealed up. Seal not the book, it says. Seal not the words of the book of this prophet. But there are, within the book of Revelation, still things that are sealed. Seal up the things which the seventh utters uttered. Write them not. Shut the book, Daniel. You know, there are things that are hidden from our eyes. Is that how we prepare? By, Lord, we're going to figure out what happens before it happens. Is that really, does that make us ready?